Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for a good day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the week and, Lord, the hour, Lord, that we've come to in this last day. We thank you, Lord, for the physical rain and for the spiritual rain. Lord, we ask this morning, Lord, that as you've just moved in the song service, Lord, that you would move as your word comes forth. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would give us revelation. Lord, that you would just bless each one, speak to every heart, Father. Lord, we commit all things to you now. That you continue to be with Brother Goomba, Lord, as he's finishing and preparing to come home. Lord, just give him strength and guide him in all things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. And we greet you this morning in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here. And we just thank him for every opportunity that we have. And so I was able to talk with Brother Goomba yesterday. And he's doing good, although he's getting tired. He's really preached. He's traveled and ministered as much as he has been able to. And now in his last few days here, he's got several meetings and places that he's preaching, and so we want to remember him. He'll be coming in on Tuesday, and so I asked him if he wanted to preach on Wednesday. He said he would rather wait till Sunday, give him a few days to rest up, because the journey has been really taxing on him. And so continue to pray for him, for strength, physically, spiritually, and for travel and mercy. He prepares to come home, and we thank God for that. And now we are looking forward to he's coming with Brother Bosworth and Sister Meta, and so we're looking forward to having them with us. And we want to you mentioned the dinner, so we're looking forward to having some fellowship next week on Sunday with them, welcome them back. And also next week will be Father's Day, we'll be glad to be here and have some fellowship together. And it's kind of a little different on Mother's Day. It seemed like Mother's Day you want to maybe do something, but that you can do that any day. Actually, I think this year we went out on Mother's Day. And it's the first time in many years. I can remember maybe 15 years ago, we went out and we stood in line for an hour or more than an hour. And I said, we're not doing this no more. I said, we can have it on any day you want, but we're not going to have it on that day. I said, or we can go out any day you want, any day, but not on that day. It just, I thought, everybody is at the restaurant. And I thought, we're just... let's go when they go home, then we'll go. And but this year we went. It wasn't too bad where we went, but we thank God for all things. And so now, this morning, we want to get back into the message here. And we're on part 12, and we're still talking about the age, but we're also, we've got kind of went off on this thought of, on free moral agency, and on predestination, on foreknowledge of God. And so we know that God had a plan. And that plan he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Amen. And so he's just been revealing it and revealing it and revealing it through the ages. And so that revelation began in Genesis. And so right there with Adam and Eve, and we still look back to that revelation. We still look back to it, and we're still gaining from it. We gain understanding from it, and because that revelation there in the garden has grown in this day. It has become greater than what was known through the ages. And so all about the fall, those, all of that's become greater. The whole revelation has become greater. And so even from day one of the fall, that one revelation, and there's been thousands and thousands that have come up from that time. Even that one got greater in this day, in the climax of the whole thing, in the climax of this day. And so we're enjoying it. We're the ones that are getting the benefit of it and being so blessed with it. And so we thank God for that. Now, I have some scripture I'd like to read. Now, we read out of Ephesians 1 on Wednesday night. And, you know, the word predestination and the variations of the word predestinated, predestination, predestinated, predestinating, the different variations, only mentioned a few times in the Bible. Mentioned many times in the message, but only a few times in the Bible. And so one of the main places is in Ephesians 1, and the other is in Ephesians 8. I'm sorry, Romans 8. And so then the word, the variations of the word foreknowledge is used more. And so in the message and in the scripture. And so I want to get those here. Beginning at verse 1, and I'm going to read a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to try to skip through some of it because it's a lot of reading. You can, I would encourage you to read the whole chapter when you go home, and just if you hadn't read it in a while, it's really good. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, this verse of scripture is identifying two groups of people. It's identifying a group of people on the face of the earth that are led by the Spirit of God. And it's identifying another group of people on the face of the earth that are not led by the Spirit of God.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
And so there's something that takes place. There's something that makes this group be led and this group not be led.
Amen.
There's a difference in these two groups of people. And so, if we want to try to put them all together, then it doesn't work out. It doesn't come out at the end of the day. And so, Brother Adam said, it's just like going to church. Everyone who claims that Jesus is the Christ doesn't have the revelation.
That's right.
He said, no man can call Jesus the Christ but by the Holy Ghost. That means by the Spirit of God revealing to you who He is. And that is a greater revelation. Brother Branham said in the Church Ages book, he said, you can never get to first base until you know who He is.
That's right.
Until you know who He is.
Yes, sir.
And he's talking about the deity of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the difference between the Father and the Son.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the Godhead. And he's saying, you cannot get to first base with God. You cannot understand these things until first you know exactly who He is.
That's right.
And then that's what's wrong. And that's why I felt embarrassed after being in the message for, I don't know, maybe 20 years. And seeing Brother Branham and realizing the seriousness of what he was saying when he said, God is not one like your finger. And it struck, when it hits you, when you look at something for so many years, and then all of a sudden, it's like it hits you like a ball, like a bat.
Yes,
and it just, it makes you think, that's exactly what I'm doing. That's the very thing that I'm doing. When he's saying no, you've been saying yes. And you realize that you're lacking revelation.
Amen.
And that's, I came to a point. Many years ago, I came to a point that I realized that I did not have that revelation. I came to the point that I realized I had been saying that God is one like my finger since the first day of accepting this message. And it was my argument with the Baptists, where my wife went. It was with any church, anybody else that I talked to. That was my argument, that He's one. There's only one God and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. That was my first revelation. And I had a partial revelation, because that was it. His name was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the only way to baptize, not Matthew 28:19, because the revelation was the name. And so, but there was something lacking in that. I didn't know the difference between the Father and the Son, the Spirit and the Word. I didn't know.
Amen.
And so I couldn't explain it. And so, but when God lets us see, then it turns things around. And so we have found that the whole message is like that. Amen. The whole message is a revelation. And if even this subject right here, you can take the quotes and you can completely go that way with it and be right by the quotes. And you can come on this side and take the quotes and go that way with it and be completely right. Yes, the only thing you're lacking is you now have separated them. You haven't put them together. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that has to happen. That's what has to happen with the Godhead. You got to get in the middle. You got to understand what he's talking about. That's what has to happen in this subject and every subject. If you're talking about the coming of the Lord, if you're talking about the rapture, if you're talking about the resurrection, you have got to come to the middle of the road. Yes, and that Brother Branham said, it's written between the lines. He said, it's a love letter. Amen. And he said, it's hidden in there. It's hidden so they can't see it. Yes, who can't see it? These people right here that walk not after the Spirit, but walk after the flesh. That's the ones. It's hidden intentionally from this group of people. And it's revealed intentionally to this other group of people. Amen. And God is the one in control of that. He said it. He said he's the author and the finisher of your faith, of all revelation. He's the author, see? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What did it? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. So he came, he paid the price, and he set you free. He made it possible for you to be led by the Spirit of God. It didn't make it possible for the rest of them.
That's right.
It only made it possible for a predestinated group of people.
Yes, sir.
That were predetermined that they were the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Yes, sir.
The righteousness of it. Not the law itself because nobody could keep it.
Amen.
But the righteousness of it was Christ. The perfection of it. He made the way that you could be perfect.
Yes, sir.
And that righteousness is in him only. That's it. And so the law was not able to do it in this flesh because we couldn't keep it.
Amen.
Because somewhere we were going to fail. Somewhere we made mistakes. Somewhere it just wouldn't work. And so it took Christ coming to bring us to that. Verse 5. Now, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Amen.
And we talked about this on Wednesday. And that's verse 1. There's your two groups. They that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. And they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit.
Amen.
We got two groups of people. We got two groups of people here. And as he said, every one of them are on free moral agency. And every one of them are making their own decisions every day.
Amen.
They're choosing. They're choosing. But he's telling us here how they're choosing. One are by the carnal mind they're choosing. One is because they're led of the Spirit they're choosing.
Yes, sir.
It's the driving force.
Amen.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. See? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. See? Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his.
Amen.
See? So he's saying that you are not in the flesh. Now you can't take those things literally.
Amen.
If you take that literally, then you're going to deny that you're in the flesh right now. Is that right?
Yes.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
That you're not in the flesh. So that's the reason why we believe we are sitting in heavenly places right now.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. That's the reason why we believed, as Paul told his people, that we have been translated into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And that is a spiritual kingdom. It is an atmosphere.
Yes.
It's a life.
Yes, sir.
It's a revelation.
That's right.
And so it's different from this carnal realm that's here. Let's read that one again. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So if you don't have it, then he said it another way than this. Another place he said, if that seed of God is not in you, if it wasn't there in the beginning before the foundation of the world, it will never be there.
That's right.
If it wasn't in you from the beginning, it'll never be there. If you wasn't in his mind, if you wasn't in his thinking, then you will never be there.
That's right.
You say, well, he knew everybody. He created everybody. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. But he also said that he didn't know them.
That's right.
He didn't know them.
Yes, sir.
And they were declaring that they did know him. And that they did so many things for him and for his kingdom and for the ministry. And they had preached, and they had cast out devils, and all these different things. And he denied that. Now think how many times we've read in the message where he said that God vindicates your life. He vindicates you. He vindicates his life in you. Because it's a manifestation. He said that's what he did to Moses. He sent Moses down there, and then he vindicated Moses. And he sent every one of those prophets, then he vindicated those prophets. And he said he's doing the same thing to you. He sent you in this last day with this last day message, with this revelation of the entire revelation of Jesus Christ, the entirety, Brother Bam said, the entirety of it. He's given to the bride in this last day. And he's vindicating that you have that revelation. He's vindicating that that truth, that revelation is living in you. That's what he's doing. And that's what he's always done. But he's not doing it in them. And when they stand up and try to declare that they are doing it for him, he says, I don't even know you.
Amen.
No, I haven't vindicated you.
That's right.
Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. See? But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Amen.
Praise be to God. That's a promise that only the elect have. That's a promise that the seed, the children of God, have. Nobody else.
That's right.
Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Two different Greek people making two different decisions. Two different ways of life.
Yes, sir.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So of these two groups, the ones that are led by the Spirit, these are identified as the children of God. And many times the scripture just identifies sons, but he's talking about sons and daughters of God. Always. It's sons and daughters of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Now, when the other scripture in Ephesians 1, this is the same thing that he talks about. He talks about that adoption. And I put it in here because I wanted to refresh us what we read Wednesday night. That both places he's talking about predestination and the foreknowledge of God, and both places he's talking about this adoption. Now here he's saying that you receive the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now in Ephesians 1:4 that we read, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Yes, sir.
Once again, it's in him.
Yes.
It's in Him. He's the one doing it. Once again, it is not our choosing. It's not His choosing. I mean, it's His choosing, not our choosing. Skipping those couple. In verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Amen. And I read that because this scripture goes Genesis to Revelation. Yes. It was His. The mystery was revealed to Abel by the good pleasure of God. God the Father revealed to Abel that it was blood. And He didn't. He did not reveal it to Cain. Now, those two, one was led by the Spirit, and the other one wasn't led by the Spirit. One accepted the leading of the Spirit, and the other one refused the leading of the Spirit. Two groups of people. Last sentence again. According to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. That was verse 9. Okay. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Back to Romans. And so that spirit of adoption, that adoption that is predestinated, that inheritance that you have was predetermined by God because you were of this group of the sons and daughters of God. That was determined. And so that adoption is not just going out here and getting somebody else's child like we think of it today. Yes, when we think of adoption today, we're thinking about going out and somebody else's child there that don't have parents or the parents don't want them or whatever it is, and we adopt them. And that's not how Brother Branham explained this.
That's right.
This adoption and this redemption,
yes.
This means that you had to be there.
Yes.
This means that you were a part of Him before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And so you dropped down in time. You were born with the nature of the world because of the fall. This plan that God had of Him going to manifest His attributes. This plan that He had to bring forth His attributes now brought everybody in sin. And so from that, now He comes and expresses Himself. And then He reveals to you who you are.
Amen.
We were just wondering. We were just walking in darkness. We didn't know. Why? Because we had another nature. We had another nature. Brother Branham said there was another person living in there. But when He comes and He quickens that seed of God, that son and daughter of God, then it brings forth a person that now is led of the Spirit of God in all that they do. And Brother Branham said, even when you think that you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, He's still leading you. He's still guiding you. Sometimes it's because even though we have the mind of Christ is what's making you strive to be led according to the Word and by the Spirit of God. But sometimes you're not sure in your mental, physical mind. You're not sure. But God is still doing His part.
Amen.
Sometimes you don't know it till after it's done. And Brother Branham said, you look back and you see what God did.
Yes,
and then you realize how He moved you this way, and then He moved you that way, and He moved you this way.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, it humbles you.
Yes.
And it makes you praise Him.
Yes, sir.
And know that He didn't leave you. He didn't leave you hanging. But He was right there moving you. But this mind can't comprehend it sometimes. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And drop down to 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly. Huh? Did anybody willingly come here with the nature of the world? No. You didn't have any choice in it. But you had a choice. And let me just say this. You had a choice one day when you came face to face with the Word of God. You had a choice. Whether you were going to believe Him, the person of eternal life. Brother Bram said, that's who He is. That's eternal life. Eternal life is a person. And that person's name is Jesus Christ. And you came face to face with Him in the form of the revealed word of the day and age that you live in. And you had to make a decision. And you didn't know what decision to make. Because you didn't want to make a decision unless that decision was the true word of God. Was the true thing. Was the right thing. You had, maybe you had been to many churches. Maybe you had heard many doctrines. Maybe you heard many preachers. Maybe you hadn't heard any. And it was all new to you. But there's one thing that happened and happens to every predestinated seed. God comes in and quickens that seed. And when He quickens that seed, He reveals to you what is truth. And Jesus declared it 2,000 years ago. He said, the teacher is in you when you're born again. Because that's the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the teacher. And He's the one leading you. He's the one guiding you. He's the one revealing to you all things. Amen. You have an advantage. You just have an advantage. And that's revelation. See, for the creature was made subject to vanity, but not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. I'm skipping again to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Now, tell me something. You don't even know what to pray for. You don't know what decision to make. You don't know what to do. And He's telling you that the Spirit helpeth your infirmities. The Spirit helpeth your trials and your troubles and your emotions and all the things you're going through and all the things you're suffering. The Spirit of God is there to minister to you and to reveal to you. In that He said that you don't even know what to pray for. And He's doing it for you. Amen. He's interceding for you.
Yes, sir.
The Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's an advantage.
Yes, sir.
That's an advantage that they don't have. These two groups of people. The ones that are led by the Spirit and the ones that are carnally minded. You have something they don't have. Therefore, the decisions you make are different than the decisions they make.
That's right.
27. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercessions for the saints according to what? Huh? According to the will of God.
Amen.
The Spirit in you. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't want to try to divide this intercessory work here, because the Spirit in you is the thing that's leading you and guiding you. The intercessor that was sitting on the throne for 2,000 years, that work is finished.
Yes, sir.
That work is finished. But that Spirit is the same Spirit that's living inside of you.
Amen.
And that Spirit that's living inside of you is the thing that's leading you according to the will of God.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to God. Amen. That He is the one. We're in our mind, we're searching the will of God, and we're searching it by the Word. But it's the Spirit that's moving you.
Yes,
it's the Spirit that's revealing that to you.
Amen.
It's got to start here.
Yes,
Brother Branham said, "The womb. This is the womb. The mind is the womb."
Yes.
And he said, "It comes through here." He said, "But it's got to drop down to here, and that takes God. Everybody gets it here. The theologians get it. The church members get it. Nominal, message, whatever they are, they all get it. It all comes right here. But God has to let it get past here and come down here.
That's right.
And when it gets down here, then it becomes, God makes it a revelation.
Amen.
That's the reason the scripture said, as a man thinketh in his heart. This is where it's at. This is where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
It's that soul.
That's right.
It's that eternal life. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." According to what? His purpose. What he predetermined for you. Now, before I go to this next verse, I'm adding a scripture here. In Matthew chapter 7, and this is what I quoted a while ago. I'm just going to read, I think, verse 23. "And then will I confess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity."
Yes.
Brother Branham said that this word know, to know, he said it's the same word that was in Genesis. When the scripture said, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived." Adam knew his wife. So these people that he's saying he don't know, he knows everybody. He's the creator of these people. But so he's not saying this in a sarcastic way. He's not saying it in a way that he don't know them. He knows them. But he has not had a relationship with them. They've never come into a relationship. And that's what the word know means. I never knew you. We never had relationship. Adam knew his wife. And what did it do? It reproduced Adam.
Yes,
it brought forth a son.
Amen.
And so if they had knew him, it would reproduce Jesus Christ in them. And that's what has to happen in us. That's what is happening in us.
Yes, sir.
It is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's right.
See? He said, 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquities." See? Back to Romans 8:28-9. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, in reading that in Matthew, is because I wanted you to relate that to this scripture right here. For in verse 29, he said, "For whom he did foreknow."
Yes,
foreknow. He knew them. He foreknew them because they were in him before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
They were a part of him before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
This is not a new thing. He didn't just one day you decided, "I'm going to get saved. I want to do this. I'm going to do that." No, it didn't work like that. No, he knew you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
You were in him. You was in his thinking. He foreknew you. And because he foreknew you, he predestinated you.
Amen.
Because you were a part of him. These that he foreknew, they were the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
And those that he didn't know, they weren't the sons and daughters of God. Verse 30. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, Who can be against us?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right. And that's how it's been all the way through the scripture. Look how God protected his own. Look how God showed favor to his own.
Yes, sir.
Look how God brought them through. All the way through. Many of them did wrong. Many of them were failures. They all were failures because they were in this flesh. Mm-hmm. Moses made his mistakes, but God was with him.
Yes,
every one of them, every one of us, we have our faults and failures in this flesh. But that's not what we're looking to.
Amen.
We're looking to the Spirit that lives in us, that dwells in us. 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give us all things freely? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?
Amen.
Huh? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth.
Yes.
Now that's exactly right.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, the problem with the Jews is they're trying to justify themselves. I've listened to this, hadn't in quite some time now, but I listened to this Jewish rabbi for a while. And he said, and he's a very, both sides. He welcomes the Christians and he is Jewish himself. And so he explained the difference of the Jew, and I think I've said this to you before, but he said the difference between the Jew and the Gentile, he said the Jew is justifying himself by his own righteousness, by his works. The Jews believe that their works are what justify them. And he said the Christians believe that it's not their righteousness, but it's that it's Christ's righteousness. And I thought, he couldn't have said it better.
Right.
He couldn't have said it better. That's exactly where they're at.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing then 2,000 years ago, and they're still in the same mindset today.
Yes, sir.
That they live a good life, they believe the Torah, they do what they observe the holidays, they observe the different things that they're supposed to do, and that's righteousness to them. But for the elect, for the children, for the bride, she has no righteousness of her own. It's his righteousness. It's his perfection.
That's right.
That's the difference. See, it is God that justifieth. And so you go through the whole Bible. You go through the whole Bible and look at the sons and daughters of God. Look at their mistakes. And look how God makes a way. Makes a way. Makes a way.
Yes,
you look at Rahab the harlot.
Yes,
she comes right in. That wasn't allowed to be.
Right.
She wasn't allowed to do that. She come right in.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Esau and Jacob. Here, the scripture said the elder will serve the younger. That was contrary to the law.
Yes,
because he was the firstborn. How are you going to change that?
Mm-hmm.
But here God, by the Spirit,
yes,
the Spirit of God, the leading of God is saying, this one is going to serve that one. Huh? Look at David when he took another man's wife. Go through the scripture and look how many people died of adultery.
Yes, sir.
How many were put to death for adultery. How God slayed them.
Yep.
And here David comes along and commits adultery. Did he die?
No,
no, other people died.
That's right.
Other people died. His judgment was many other people died because of him.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't sound right, does it? It is God that justifies. It is God that condemneth. It is God that is sovereign.
Amen.
It's not for me to say this is right or that's right. It's God who says what's right.
Yes, sir.
That was a son of God. That's the difference.
Amen.
When you have a son and a daughter of God, it didn't make the sin right. It didn't make what he did right. Not at all. Don't go there. But what it did was, the difference was, this was a son of God.
Yes, sir.
This man was the apple of his eye. This was a man after his own heart.
Amen.
And so that's what I say about Adam. That's what I say about Adam. No matter what Adam did, he was still a son of God.
That's right.
That's my point. I don't mean to go contrary in any way. But the difference is, Adam was a son of God. He was created a son of God. He was from the beginning a son of God. He never stopped being a son of God.
Amen.
No. And neither was you.
That's right.
You was a son and daughter of God when you were back there in sin.
Yes.
Because you were an eternal thought of God waiting to be manifested.
Amen.
And when that manifestation, when that quickening power came upon that seed, it brought forth the manifestation of eternal life. And that eternal life didn't begin right then. That eternal life was the same eternal life.
Yes, sir.
Time, we just drop down in time. This is just, it's just a moment. It's just a break.
Amen.
It's just something that that Satan brought forth from the fall.
Yes, sir.
No, it was supposed to not have a break. But because God had a purpose, He allowed it.
Amen.
Because God wanted to express those attributes.
That's right.
He allowed it.
Yes,
sir. Satan can't do anything that he's not allowed to do.
Yes, sir. That's right.
He don't get over on God. He don't sneak up and do something and God not realize it and then God's got to fix it. He don't do anything God don't allow.
Amen.
You see, rather than getting in trouble there. Well, I believe in a sovereign God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Satan is responsible for the fall. Satan is responsible for the lies. Satan is responsible for the deceit. He's responsible for death. He's responsible for sickness. He's responsible for all that. But that's what he was put there for.
Yes, sir.
That was his purpose.
Yep.
Some people were predestinated to life. And other people were predestinated to reprobate.
That's right.
That's what they were put here for.
Yes, sir.
That was Pharaoh's purpose.
Yes.
Pharaoh's purpose was to let God display his glorious attributes.
Amen.
So every time that Pharaoh seen the power of God and seen God displaying his glorious attributes, then Pharaoh thought, I should quit now. And he would try to let him go. And God said, no, I raised you up. I raised you for this purpose. And he would harden his heart. And then he would go after him again. And then he would say, no, this don't make sense. You just go. Just go out there, do this and this. Huh? And God said, oh, no. I'm going to do this in a great way.
Yes.
In a great way. Yep. This is going to be a glorious thing. I'm going to show my power. This was letting us see the sovereignty of God.
That's right.
This was letting us see the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Satan was right there. Satan was right there in him. Satan was right there hating. Satan was right there wanting to kill. Satan was right there wanting to do it all. Same spirit today.
Yes,
still here. But God is showing his glory.
Amen.
It is God that justifieth. Who is it that, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Huh? Who is he that condemneth? The scripture says, to one's own master, does he stand or fall?
Yes,
so, when you have people, and there's lots of people like this, that are always criticizing, making you a little bit less than a Christian, making you a little bit less than what God said you are. Making veiled threats that you're so close to being lost. You're so close to being off. You're so close to this. Just veiled threats. You ain't answering to nobody but the Word.
That's right.
Everything that Satan throws at you, you just put it on the shelf. If you can use it for constructive criticism, that's okay. But anything else, you just put it on the shelf. Because you're only answering to one. You're only answering to one, and that's the Word. And you know He's the only one that knows your heart?
Yes, sir.
Oh, they think they can discern your heart, but they can't.
That's right.
No. But He can. He can discern your heart, and He can convict your heart. And He can make you know when you're wrong. He can.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that Spirit that's in you, that's what it's there for. Because that Spirit that's in there is to lead you and guide you in all truth. And if there's something in you amiss, He is going to identify it and He's going to instruct you to get it out.
Yes, sir.
If it's pride, if it's lust, if it's jealousy, if it's ego, whatever it is.
Yes, sir.
If it's in there and it's not like Him, He's going to make you work on that.
That's right.
He's going to condemn you of it. And you're going to run from it. That's right. It will humble you. It will bring you to your knees. The proudest man, the proudest woman, it will humble you. All right, we're dropping down. You can read those scriptures later. This is in a message called "I Have Heard, But Now I See." That's a lovely message. See, paragraph 194. Just the elected. I'm sorry. This thing, Satan just been bothering me for a couple weeks now. And I just don't think that it's allergies, but I don't know. I would have understood it when all the pollen was falling. That would have made sense. But there's still even now, people are struggling with that, but I don't know what it is, but it's in draining me. Paragraph 194. Just the elected understood who He was. How about that? Who is the only ones? Just the elected ones. They're the only ones who understood who He was. Now, it wasn't those who knew the most about the Scripture. It wasn't the ones who could quote the most Scripture. No, because the priests were the ones. The priests were the ones who could quote it, memorize it, had it down pat. But they weren't able to recognize Him. So it was something else. And He already told us what it was. It was those that were led by the Spirit. Now there was some ignorant and unlearned people on the earth when He came. And they didn't have the knowledge that those priests had. But there was something about them that allowed them to be led by the Spirit of God. There was something about them that happened to them that revealed to them that they were sons of God. That's what we read in Romans there. Something identified you as a son of God and gave you the Spirit of God that you could yourself accept that revelation. Accept that you were a son of God. Accept that you were a daughter of God. God put that in there.
Amen.
Think about it. One day you're walking along and you're just lost in the world. You're just another of the billions and billions of people across the world. And all of a sudden, you come from being a nobody till God reveals to you that you are a son or daughter of God.
Yes.
Now that's quite an elevation, don't you think?
Yes.
Just think, if you were, I can't think of any example, but just think if you had been raised poor. I think there's some story there that we had in school or something about a boy who traded places with a poor boy, a king, a young prince or something. He traded places with a pauper. And so he wanted to go out and see the country. He wanted to have an opportunity, and so he went out. And so, but it was coming time for him to be ordained the king. And so he gets back just in time, and then he has to prove himself, because this poor boy is going to be made the king in his stead while he's been out enjoying, or not, wasn't altogether enjoying. But just think, if you had went from being this poor person to finding out that you was the son or daughter of some great, famous, rich person.
Yes, sir.
Then think how it would change your life. Think what it would do. You know, in the natural, people would think, oh, I'm a greater person now because I come from rich family. I come from intellectual family. I come from this or that or the other. And then just that, in your carnal mind, it just lifts up your status. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of, I'm a better person now. I'm a greater person. You haven't done anything. You haven't changed anything.
Amen.
You're the same person that you was.
Yes.
And in the flesh, that's how Satan will make you feel.
Amen.
But in the spirit, this is where the reality is. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit.
Yes, sir.
This is where the reality is. That God has come down and identified himself in you.
Amen.
He's identified that you were, before the foundation of the world, a son and a daughter of God.
Yes, sir.
Right. See, just the elected understood who he was. Just think. There was maybe about 3 million people, Jews on the earth, and there wasn't one-third of them. There wasn't one-third of them that ever knowed he was there until he'd done come and gone. See? But he revealed himself to those who were waiting. Huh? Well, if I could just put another word in there. He come to those who were elected.
Amen.
Those who were predestinated.
Yes,
he came to those who he foreknew. Those he foreknew that was in him before the foundation of the world. That's who he came to. And he revealed to them that they were in him before the foundation of the world. He revealed to them that they were sons and daughters of God. He revealed to them the revelation of himself for that day. He revealed to them what hour they were living in. Just like he revealed to Noah in the Antediluvian age. That he was living in the judgment of God. And that God was going to destroy the world with water. That was the revelation. It was a very simple revelation. Only it was hidden to all of the carnal minds. And it was revealed to the elected ones. Huh? It was revealed. And they're the only ones. They're the only ones that could receive it. Because the Spirit of God revealed it to them. So he's only coming to those that were waiting. John the Baptist, he was waiting, wasn't he?
Amen.
He had been preaching. He had been telling them. He even identified and told them, said, he's standing among you. He's somewhere. I don't know who he is. Haven't met him yet. But he's among you.
That's right.
And he's going to identify himself one day. But he's already here. He put him here. That's what our prophet did. He put him here. He didn't put him. He took him out of the future and he put him here.
That's right.
That's the difference.
Yes, sir.
That's what every prophet does. Every prophet comes on the scene and makes him a present God.
Yes,
not a future God. Makes him a present tense God.
Amen.
See, John the Baptist, the apostles that had been called by John. Now some of those apostles had been called by John and then later they went and followed Jesus. But they heard the preaching and they believed. They believed it. The Spirit moved on them and said, this is real. This guy, he don't look anything like our great leaders. He don't look anything like, he don't have the training. He don't have the vocabulary. He don't have the education. He don't have the clothes. He don't have anything like them. But what he's saying was revealed to them. And so forth. Blind Anna in the temple. Simeon the priest. Who were they? A couple of religious fanatics that just lived there at the temple. Huh? Yeah. Claiming that they had a revelation that they're not going to die until they see the Christ. They had a revelation. How did they get it? By the Spirit. The Spirit. They were of that group that were moved by the Spirit of God. See, Simeon the priest, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he was going to see the Christ. See? And all of those religious leaders, theologians and things, blind as they could be. Two groups of people. One led by the Spirit and one void of the Spirit.
Amen.
One, sons and daughters of God. One, sons and daughters of Satan. All those great religious leaders, theologians, blind as they could be, only can the rain, listen to this now, only can the rain raise the seed if the seed's already there.
Amen. That's right.
Well, that's a profound statement. It's a really simple statement. It really just makes sense, don't it? It don't matter how much it rains. If there's no seed in the ground, nothing's coming up. No, it can't. There has to be a seed. And Brother Branham said, that's what's wrong. That's the reason why, he said, in the non-elect, there's nothing there to quicken.
Yes,
there's no seed in there to quicken.
Amen.
No, that's the reason why, when the quickening power comes, they jump and they shout, they get excited, they can prophesy, they can speak, they can do a lot of things. But they can't have the true new birth.
Amen.
Because the seed's not there.
Right.
The anointing is there, the Spirit of God is there, the true Holy Ghost is there. That's another mystery of this day. That's another revelation of this day. They have the true Holy Ghost anointing their flesh, anointing their spirit.
Amen.
But they don't have the seed of God in there to quicken, to bring forth that person of eternal life. That's the difference. So no matter how much, how religious they are, everybody's religious. Not everybody's religious, but most people are religious because God put something in there to make you worship something. Read it again, 195. Only can the rain raise the seed. If the seed's already there, and as you was a germ first in your father, and he didn't know, huh? He didn't know yet. See? You were in your father. But through the bedding ground of your mother, you were made manifest in his likeness. And then he could talk to you.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes,
Brother Branham talked about that many times, many different ways. And he said, you were in your great, great, great grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he said, you didn't know it, and your father didn't know it, and your great grandfather didn't know it. Until you were manifested. And Brother Branham said, it's the same in the spiritual that you were in him before the foundation of the world. But there is a difference. There's a difference in the natural and the spiritual in this type. And that difference is this, that you didn't know it and your father didn't know it, but God did know it. God did know it. He knew it before the foundation of the world because he put the seed in there. That's the difference. Your father didn't know until you were manifested. You didn't know both naturally and spiritually until you were manifested. But God knew because he's the one who put the seed in there. He's the one who made it real. He's the man who made it happen. He's the one who predestinated it to be. God, the great God, if you got eternal life, then the germ of eternal life was in God at the beginning. And you were there. You were in his thinking, your name and all. And I keep coming across that book of life. And I don't know if we're going to get to it. I don't know how much time I'm going to spend on this. I've already kind of surprised myself and spent more time on it than, and I don't want to bore you, and I don't want to wear you out on this thought. But it just, I'm seeing it more real than I ever seen it. I'm seeing it more real than I ever seen it. And it's that way. And the thing is, when you look at these things, and then you're reading the message, you start seeing it everywhere. You start seeing it everywhere. That's why I was talking the other day, and I was talking about having little pet doctrines and stuff like that. And I thought, why does this keep coming back around? Why does, I've thought about it, and if it's me, I don't want to pursue it. But if it's God, then I want to pursue it.
Amen.
And so, but I realize it's just everywhere in the message. He just keeps putting it in there and putting it in there and putting it in there over and over and over again. And you, and like every subject, I've said this over and over. If you take one side of it, you're going to have a lopsided picture. If you don't take all the pieces to the puzzle, then you're not going to have a clear picture of what it is. And as I said, you can take one side and it looks this way, and the other side and it looks that way. And when you put it together, then it's a totally different thing altogether. And that's how this whole message has to be for the bride. The whole message has to be. And to me, that's the beauty of this message, is because you look how many things that was revealed after the seals came forth, that we had a partial picture of what it was. And it was almost exactly right, but it wasn't fully right because there was a piece missing. And so it didn't become clear until that piece was added in there. And that, Brother Bram said, even serpent seed. And he'd been preaching serpent seed for 30 years. And then all of a sudden, he says, you let them come against me now. He said, God just showed me this the other day, after the seals. After the seals now, when he'd been preaching serpent seed, he knew what happened in the garden. But what God did was complete the picture. Let the entirety of the revelation come forth.
That's right.
And it changes your thinking. It changes those little skews, those little pet doctrines that people have. It changes that. And it brings it into full view. But you can't keep going with the skewed view that you had. You got to take that, and then now you got to take this that he's brought forth at the opening of the seals, at the revealing of the seven thunders. Now you got to take all of that now and put it together and let it be the entirety of the revelation. And that's the day we're living in. This is the climax. This is the climax of the revelation. This is the climax of the unveiling of God. This is the climax of the revealing of Jesus Christ in his entirety.
Yes, sir.
That's the words of the prophet. In his entirety. That's our day.
Amen.
If you've got eternal life, then the germ of eternal life was in God at the beginning. It was already in God. The germ of eternal life was in God at the beginning. And what was the beginning? The Word.
That's right.
And what is the Word? It's God's thought coming into manifestation. That's what a word is. It's a thought being spoken. And when it's spoken, it comes into manifestation.
Yes, sir.
And that's what's been happening all along, all down through the ages. It's been those thoughts becoming word, becoming expressed.
Amen.
And now you just come in your age. That's why you couldn't have come in any other day. Because you couldn't have come in Luther's day, Brother Branham said, because it wasn't time to reveal the entirety.
Right.
And you were too predestinated to reveal the entirety.
Amen.
You weren't predestinated to reveal it in its part. No. Luther and those people were predestinated to reveal it in that part.
Yes.
You were not.
That's right.
You were predestinated to reveal Jesus Christ in his entirety at the ending of the seven church ages. When the seven church ages was done, the seals had been revealed, the Bible had been completed. All the Bible is completely revealed, and then Christ comes down and speaks forth those seven thunder mysteries. That's the day you live in. That's the thing that God is vindicating today. That's the thing that he's proving, has proven, continues to prove. You were there, you were in his thinking, your name and all. Already your name was there. See, he, by foreknowledge, ordained you to see this.
Amen.
Why? By foreknowledge, because he knew you. Because you were in him, you were a part of him, you was in his thinking.
Amen.
Those eternal thoughts of God. And you was not ordained, and you that was not ordained, that other group of people, will never see it. Huh? If you weren't ordained, you'll never see it.
Right.
Remember, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the hour is here. Won't you believe him? See? Give him your life, give your lives to him. So I have to stop now. It's after 9, but 96. Many of you fruit growers know that here in this citrus valley, it'll bear its own fruit. Now he's talking about the citrus tree, and to me this is, I didn't know these things, and even though I was in grade school in California where the citrus trees are, the orange trees, lemon trees, all of that, I didn't know these things until I came to the message. And the prophet, when he went to, I believe it was Brother Shakarian, when he went to visit him there, they went and visited that citrus farm. And when they were driving in, that tree had every kind of citrus fruit on it. And it was a marvel to the prophet. It was a marvel. And he got revelation by that, by seeing that. It brought the scripture to life. Because the scripture said, every branch will bring forth of its kind. Every seed will bring forth of its kind. So this tree was an orange tree. But it had lemons, it had limes, it had grapefruits, it had tangelos, it had tangerines, it had oranges, had every kind of citrus fruit was in that one tree. And that prophet only wanted to know one thing. He said, next year, when that tree bears, will it all be oranges? And they said, no. Every branch will bring forth of its kind. So he had another question. And he said, then will it ever bring forth oranges again? They said, oh yes. If that tree from the roots ever puts forth another branch, it will be an orange.
Yes, sir.
But all everything that's grafted will only bring forth of its kind. That's exactly in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
You can only bring forth what you are, what God put in you before the foundation of the world. You can't be nothing else.
Yes, sir.
God ordained you to be a son and daughter of God. Nothing else.
Amen.
You cannot disbelieve the word of God.
That's right.
That's the difference. You cannot deny that orange branch could not say, I'm a lemon. Can't do it. That lemon, it could say, I'm an orange, and nobody will believe it.
That's right.
Because you can look at it and tell. God ordained you to be what you are.
Yes, sir.
See? You put a lemon branch in an orange tree and it'll bear lemons because it's the nature of the citrus fruit. Yet it won't bear the original fruit. No, that lemon branch will not bear the original fruit, but it'll live off the life of the tree. And that's exactly what the religious realm is doing.
Right.
They're living off the life of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
But they don't have the nature. They don't have him, the seed of God. They're not from the roots. See? Yet it won't bear the original fruit. That's what we've done. We've grafted in, taken in with the creeds and so forth, grafted in each. How can the Methodist bring forth anything but Methodist child? How can any denomination bring forth anything but a denominational child? And if that tree ever puts out an original branch, it will bring forth oranges. See? And then if God ever does anything in the church, it'll be original. Back to the word again, see? Exactly, it has to be, because the life is in the tree, and it bears its own kind.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, that's what's wrong today, said, people are not original anymore.
Right.
No, God is original, and His word is original. And in every age, He brings forth the word of that day,
yes,
and it's original. It's not repeating and repeating and repeating. That's what man does. They're trying so hard to reproduce something of another day. It'll never work. It's dead. It's gone into the ground.
Yes, sir.
That prophet, he made it clear. When those church ages ended, he said, you cannot bring it over. You cannot bring it over. Not one age. And it is interesting because early on, he told us, and a lot of people held on to this idea for a long time. And they used it to fight against the revelation. Because Brother Branham said that you take that age, you take the word of that age, and then you add to it, and you add to it, and you add to it. And that's right. But if the revelation wasn't in the fullness, then it's not going to work in any age after that. It was a stepping stone. It was a partial revelation.
That's right.
It was a part of the Holy Ghost. It was a part of the Word. And so what they had, Brother Branham said, you cannot bring it over into this day.
Amen.
And that people, that's what they want to do. They want that so bad.
Amen.
It has to be original. 99. Jesus wants fruit for himself. His wife must bring forth the kind of children that he is. Huh? His wife must bring forth the kind of children that he is. This is exactly right. Now, I can think of examples, but I'm not going to give them to you. But I've seen it. And there's cases where, well, let's just take what the prophet said about when he was talking about the serpent seed. And he said that here was a woman that was suing her husband for child support. And one of the children were white and one of the children were black. And he knew that black child was not his. And he said, I'll pay for mine, but that man, whoever he is going to pay for his. I'm not going to pay for his.
Right.
And so it was obvious that there's two different sons from two different men.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what he's talking about. If you have been impregnated by God, then you are going to bring forth sons and daughters of God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And it's going to be the original word.
Yes, sir.
Remember, Brother Branham preached that message. The spoken word
That's right.
Is the original seed.
Yes.
And now you take that all the way back before the foundation of the world,
mm-hmm.
and the spoken word is the original seed. When the thought began to be spoken, it was the spoken word. God was speaking his thoughts into existence, bringing forth. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be, and there was.
Right.
And that is continuing right down today. He's still revealing his word. He's still revealing himself.
Yes, sir.
It's still the spoken word. It's not the word of another day.
Amen.
It's original. It's new. It's a new thing.
That's right.
People, they don't like that either. They want God to be something from another day that they put in their box, and they can take it out and dust it off when they're ready and say, this is God.
Yeah.
You're never going to get him in your box.
That's right.
Because nobody's got a box big enough.
Amen.
Because he's the creator of heavens and earth.
Yes, sir.
He's the one doing this. And he said through his prophet that he, God, the Spirit of God, will reveal himself throughout eternity.
Amen.
So that means that God is not going to run out of something to reveal to us.
That's right.
He's not going to run out. He's not going to take us in this day and take us back into Noah's day or Moses' day or Jesus' day. And that's the one they really want us to get us back to. But he's not a baby in a manger today.
Amen.
He's not going to hang on the cross today.
That's right.
Those days are over. You can forget about it. It's never going to happen again.
Amen.
No. What he promised to do in this day is come again. And when he come in this day, the scripture said, he is going to speak forth seven thunder mysteries. So if you are interested in what he said he's going to do, then be looking for that.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you think it's going to be, the skies are going to open up and you're going to see him stand on a cloud and start preaching, then that's up to you. You're going to be waiting a long time because it ain't going to happen that way.
Right.
Just like he said about the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And this is such an interesting statement that he knew what they were thinking
mm-hmm.
when they were thinking about the resurrection. He said, yes, there will be a resurrection. But he said, not like you think. Now, who was he talking to?
That's right.
He was talking to the church carnal. He was talking to them that are not led by the Spirit
That's
of God.
Right.
He was talking to them that are not, that don't have the revelation that the Spirit of God's not in them to reveal to them
Yes,
what the resurrection is.
Amen.
That it's the life of Jesus Christ living in you.
That's right.
The power of his resurrection
Yes.
is him himself.
Amen.
See? It must bring forth the kind of children that he is. Then if it don't bring forth children, bride children, word children, then it's the denominational child. That's right. Don't matter if it's in this message. If it's not manifesting the word, the bride children, then calling it message, saying I believe the prophet, is no better than saying you're a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Catholic. There's no difference. There's no difference. It's either you're walking by the Spirit, you're walking by revelation, or you are not. And there's only one revelation. And he's the one who gives it to you. And he is the revelation. Because he's revealing himself to you. Then her first love for the world and denomination, she's gone back to that. And it can't bring forth a real, genuine, born-again Christian. Because there's nothing there to bring forth. See? Just like if you take a lemon branch and you stick it in there, it'll bring a lemon. But it can't bring an orange because it wasn't there at the beginning. And that's exactly what's happened. And I've heard this talked about, and Brother Branham talks about it. And he talks about it in that message, the spoken word's original seed. He said, if you come with a Baptist message, he said, you're going to bring forth a Baptist member.
Yes.
If I come preaching the Baptist, you know, I go to their school, I get their doctrine, I get their revelation, and I start preaching, the only thing I can produce is Baptist. And if I go to the Catholic Church and do the same thing, all I can produce is a Catholic.
Right.
Pentecostal, I produce a Catholic. He said, but when you bring the living word, sons and daughters of God, that's all that can produce is sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, let me not say Brother Branham said. Let me say, I'm saying. You come with a Pentecostal spirit, and try to preach the message. You come with a Presbyterian spirit and try to preach the message. It's only going to produce Presbyterian.
That's right.
It's not going to produce sons and daughters of God.
Yes.
It's going to produce that same idea that you're trying to get over to the people.
Yep.
It's got to be the life, the person of eternal life, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He's the Word. And He is the spoken Word. He's the spoken Word. See, it'll bring a lemon. But it can't bring an orange because it wasn't there at the beginning. But it was ordained at the beginning in the foreknowledge of God. Huh? It was foreknown. He knew you. See, predestinated and born. It has to bring forth an orange. It can't bring forth nothing else.
Amen.
No way, no time, no way can it bring forth anything else. The rapture message, paragraph 101. And that's the way with the church of the living God. When the hour comes, you let God start to do something and everybody's got the ball and gone, see? It's always been that way. It's always been that way. Listen what he said. You let God start to do something and then man takes off and goes every different way. They take this new idea and then they put their idea to it and put their idea to it and put their idea to it. What if Noah did that? What if God revealed to Noah that it's going to rain and this is how I want you to build the ark, just like this. Just this size, this size, this size, do this, this, this kind of wood, this kind of pitch, this and this and this. And what if Noah said, it's going to rain, I need a boat. And so he decided he's going to use a different wood because it's going to be easier to work with. It's more solid. It's a better board. And he begins doing it his way. What do you think would have happened? It wouldn't have worked.
That's right.
But he couldn't have done that because he was the Son of God and he was being led by the Spirit. There's no telling how many impersonations there might have been. Maybe there was some people that was watching him and saying, let's just build our own boat. Let's just do it just in case. We don't think, well, we're not sure about that, but let's just build our own boat just in case. We don't know how many impersonators there were. There could have been. There always is.
Yes, sir.
So there could have been many that did just that. But guess what? Their boat did not make it through.
That's right.
And it won't make it through today.
Amen.
It won't. But they've got the ball and they're gone. There's some smart, smart preachers in this message. There's some smart, smart people around this message. And they see what God's doing and then they want to help God. And he don't need any help.
Amen.
He don't need any help. God can do it. He can do it. He don't need me to make it better. He don't need me to change it because the people don't understand it. Like, let me just say it like this. No. I can say it just like that. I can say it just like he says it.
Amen.
And it'll work for the bride. I was reading the history of Martin Luther here not long ago, and he said the strange thing that he could hold his head up above all the fanaticism. You know, if you look, I'm going to skip that, but Brother Branham talked about it many times, and he said, you know, you think now the Catholic Church put 365 million Christians to death in the Dark Ages. Is that right? I think it was 365. Million. That was not on somebody else's history. That was on the Catholic Church's records. That's what they recorded. That's not the ones they didn't record. That's not the ones they didn't want people to know about. That's the ones they were proud of. That was the Christians that they were proud of. 368 million Christians put to death through the Dark Ages by the Catholic Church. Think about it.
Amen.
They could have easily put Martin Luther to death for what he was preaching.
Yes.
theses after theses after theses. He was nailing to the door of the Catholic Church. And how he got through that. And Brother Branham said that that's not the amazing thing, but he said the amazing thing was all the fanaticism that raised up around him. And that's exactly what was happening around the message. They wanted to baptize in Brother Branham's name. They wanted to do all these other things. They started the Lateran, the Formerian, Lateran, all these different groups of people. And coming with all different kinds of ideas and all different kinds of revelations. Man, so smart, thinking they're going to help God. What was the difference? One had the leading of the Spirit and the other group did not. They were coming by their intellect. They were coming by their carnal understanding. That's the difference. Brother Adam talked about this Amy Simple McPherson. And I this just show you how slow I am. I've read up on her a little bit a couple weeks ago because she's been in my notes that long and I'm just getting to her. So I think I'm going to get so far in the message and then instead of this far, we get this far. And so, she's been in there, which she was a fraudster. She was a fraudster. And, but I just looked at the history a little bit and I already forgot some of what I read about her, but, she was, quite the impersonator. But Brother Adams said she was original in her approach. So what she did was, she started wearing these wings. She made these wings and put them on her back. So when she come out to preach to the people, she's like an angel standing there. And he said, Brother Brown said, as soon as she did that, said that all the women preachers started putting wings on. And so you go back and follow it. And that's how it is. And he said, the problem is nobody's original anymore. They see somebody do it and they copy. They see somebody, they copy. He said, another place, not here, but another place, he said, you paint your steps red. And he said, watch your neighbors. They're going to paint theirs red. You do this, watch them. They're going to do this. Everybody's copying. He said, you watch. He said, and into the churches. He said, you look at the women, one woman will do something, then the women start copying that. And he said one place, he said, especially the pastor's wife, she'll start some trend and said, people start doing that stuff. We don't want those spirits. Amen. We don't want those spirits.
Right.
It's we want one thing, the word.
Amen.
The original word. The word predestinated for this day. So just a little bit before 103 here, I'm not sure it's not numbered. God's word is original. It's the word and it has to bring forth its kind. Its kind in its season, elected, predestinated by the Father, God. Now how do we get in this church? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into this one body, body of Christ, see? Which is the bride, the word, baptized there by the Holy Spirit. How do we get into it? We're born into it. We're baptized into it by one Spirit. And that's the difference. That's the difference. You were predestinated to this day. You were predestinated to this hour. You were predestinated a son and daughter of God. You had no choice. Just as you didn't have any choice being born into the world with the nature of the world, you didn't have a choice. You didn't have a choice whether you were going to be a boy or a girl. You didn't have a choice whether you're going to be tall or short, heavy or light or thin, whatever. You didn't have any choice. You didn't have a choice of the color of your eyes. You didn't have a choice of how long your arms are going to be. No, you didn't. I seen this man one time and I never thought about how long somebody's arms are. But my mom says that most of these motorcycle riders, they're short, heavy, and she said they don't have a neck. She said, you look at these guys on motorcycles. They're like this. I'm like, They're not all like that, but that's her something. That's her idea about it. But there was this guy one time. We were somewhere, and he was called up to the front in front of the people. And this speaker had called two or three people out of the audience. And this guy is standing there. And so he put his hands behind his back like this. And the guy kept telling him, put your hands down. And so he put his hands back down. In a few minutes, he was back like this. And so he said, why do you keep doing that? And so the guy said, and I would have never thought about it. I would have never noticed. He said, because my arms are so long. Well, I never noticed it until then. This has been some years ago. And ever since then, I started noticing people's arms. It's the funniest thing. You know, some people, they have long legs and short bodies, or long bodies and short legs, and some are just short altogether. But there's a lot of different things, but there's no two the same. But after the guy says it, because he was so self-conscious, then I realized his arms went like way down here. I thought, man, he has to have his jacket and his shirts made for his arms. They were so long. And then I started noticing. I noticed a sister somewhere, and I said, she's got long arms too. But you don't have any choice. I don't have any choice. No, we're just the way he made us. We can't help it. And if I could change, every one of us say, if I could do this, no, you can't. He made you just how he wanted you. And if we can accept that, if we can accept that what we are is how he wanted us, and that's what marvels me about somebody in a wheelchair or like that. Brother Branham talked about a little Georgie Wright, was it? And said that, Georgie Carter was the one that was healed, and Georgie Wright was the one who was not. And so he said, God got glory from her life, because even though she couldn't get up and walk, she believed God, and she loved God, and she testified to God. And whatever our present situation is, whatever we are, whatever our physical being, our mental state, whatever we are, God can get glory for that. Amen. When we let him, when we surrender to him, he gets the glory.
Amen.
Every day testifying that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
Let him receive the glory. Let him receive the honor in all things.
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand together. Just had a stopping place there. I'm sure didn't get to where I wanted to get to, but now I don't know what Brother, we're assuming Brother Gumba will be here Wednesday. I don't know. I know he'll be tired, and we'll be praying for him. So don't forget him when you're talking to the Father. And we're really looking forward to seeing Bosworth and Meta. Be a great time. And so we want to continue to pray one for another. We do have some in need among us, and we want God's blessing to be upon each one. I think those of you who have been remembering my mom, I appreciate it so much. She's really going through a hard time, and but God is helping her day by day, and we thank him for that. And so he's so good. So I'm going to ask Brother Michael to come and lead us in a song, and then he can pray or have somebody pray. Amen. So God bless you so much, and we're really looking forward to next week, next Sunday. Brother Gumba will be ministering for us.
Amen. I enjoyed that. Those comments he was making about he never knew them. And it made me think about a farmer planting seed out there, planting corn. And he knows what he planted. And yet as the rains come and the sun comes and all these things start sprouting out of the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And they all can kind of look the same, and they can all, every time it rains, they all shout the same. And you know, Brother Brown talked about that, and as they get to growing, they really look like each other the whole time until it starts getting to time to produce the seed. The farmer says, no, I knew this one. And this one over here has been shouting and screaming like he's the corn or he's the wheat or whatever. And that's, no, I never planted you. I don't know nothing about you. But this seed that I planted, I'm now going to garner it to myself. And now we're going to go and we're going to become one. This, I'm going to bind and I don't know nothing about it. So it just made me think about that. And so he knows right where he planted each seed. He knew in each vessel. And he began to draw. That great magnet swept across the face of the earth and begins to draw right out. So made me think about this song, The Move Is On.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for speaking to us, Lord, and that you have a mouthpiece, Lord, that we can learn from and be blessed by. And you're blessing us by your word, Lord, and how you have a body that transmits your word to you, to your body, to your manifested body on the earth. We're so thankful, Lord, that you would come down and manifest yourself in the Word. Because actually, we're part of that Word. We're a manifested being of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we ought to praise the Lord and thank the Lord continually without ceasing. And I ask that you would go with all them, Lord, that labor in the world, and bless them, Lord. Be with them, keep them safe, Lord. Keep them from the evil one. Lord, we know that you created the evil one to make the bride better. Because everything you create is good in some way. In some way, we're going to get glory out of it. I ask that you be with us, Lord, continually, Lord. Let us have our minds on you, Lord, which is the Word. I ask that you be with us, Lord, and bless our pastor continually, amen, without ceasing, Lord. Just fill the vessel up so he can feed us more. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I ask you to be with us, and thank you so much for our health, Lord. Well, we can't thank you enough when we think about how many blessings, Lord. We can't come forward enough to talk to you and bless that child, Lord. I said you heal that boy, Lord. He's a sweet-hearted boy. If you talk to him and all, he's a good person, Lord. And Lord, he can't help it, Lord. I said you just touch him, Lord. I send all the infirm here, Lord, and need help. You know all about it. I ask that you manifest your kindness to them, Lord, and heal their bodies, Lord. And we thank you so much. And forgive my shortcomings, Lord. I ask, watch help us all. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God.